Let's do an idea.
Maybe two.
In Pachad Yitzchak. Looks like we have some time.
Definitely two.
Yeah, okay. So the short ideas. You know, some of these essays are long. You know, you have, and he doesn't always break it up into paragraphs sometimes, right? Like in Inyan Aleph, the first essay, it's several paragraphs, but like each paragraph is like one page long, you know? So that can be hard to read, especially because there's no, it's not always easy to figure out his references and what he's doing there, which we talked about yesterday. Okay, skip. We just did Inyan Hay, which we talked about what the idea is of the Megillah being the only remaining book in Nach that will remain when Mashiach comes. It's a surprising idea. Quoted by the Rambam. I think it comes from the Yerushalmi originally.
Wait, Rambam also says this?
The Rambam says that.
Do they really believe that, or is the idea?
So the Rambam says at the end of Hilchot Megillah, right? It's he likes to end off sections of halacha with like an agadic statement, an interesting, like, you remember we talked about how the end of Hilchot Chanukah, you have the Rambam talking about how when between Shabbos and Chanukah, Shabbos wins out because it's for peace, and he says the whole Torah is given for peace, and he quotes the Sota story, right, that we are willing to erase, God is willing to erase his own name for peace, you know. So the Rambam likes to end off with a gadita. So does he really believe it? I don't know. It depends what you mean, in what sense. Does the Rambam take that literally? Maybe, probably. He's not declaring it as a halachic statement. It's not really halacha. He might mean that it's, like some people say, that the Rambam meant that it's the, instead of reading the Haftorah from other books, we're only going to read it from Megillat Esther. Or maybe we won't be doing the Haftorah anymore. But the point is, public readings, like the other Megillahs, like Kohala and stuff, maybe we wouldn't do anymore. Public readings. That's we do lots. The Haftorah is from like all over Nach. And we also do public readings like Kohelet, Eicha. Certainly we won't need to be doing Eicha anymore, right? We'll rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, right? Why would we be lamenting the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash at that point, right? But so it's an interesting thing. That might be one possibility, whatever. So anyway, Pachad Yitzchak. Let's, here we go. Two ideas from Rav Huttner and Pachad Yitzchak, which I think are very similar in terms of their form. Meaning the idea is very powerful and it gives us a sense and a theme for the day that's like, that's very cool, I think. So Inyan Chaf, these are two very short thoughts. Inyan Chaf. 20, essay 20. He says, Beor shel Purim lehilchata shel Purim. To explain Purim, you have to delve into the laws of Purim. It's kind of like a Rav Soloveitchik type of idea. And he says, Kach amru chacham. So let's explore one of the laws. Kol ha'osa malacha bepurim. This is what the rabbis say. Anyone who does malacha on Purim, you're not supposed to do work. What it means by malacha, presumably, is not malacha for Purim, but doing, let's say, going to work. Right? The rabbis say, Eino roa siman bracha lo'olam. He will never see good that comes from that work. Ever. Right? You won't see a siman bracha. You're not supposed to go to work on Purim. Now, lots of people do. And there are a lot of heterim. Obviously, this is not telling you that you should risk getting fired. You know, let's say you work at a secular place and they say you have to come in. Purim is not an exemption. And you can't take off vacation. Or, you know, it would cost you too much, perhaps. So maybe there are excuses. However, the rabbis do not look favorably upon the person who does malacha on Purim, not for Purim's sake. Oh, so what does that mean? He says, it says in the pasuk, you have to look up which pasuk this is. It says, God promises that you will be blessed in all that you do. God is promising us that if we put the effort in, God will give us the blessing that it will be fruitful, that it will be good. So you have to do hishtadlut. You have to do the effort, and God will do the rest. Anytime that the rabbis ever speak about the obligation of trusting in God and also being allowed to do your own hishtadlut, anytime the rabbis ever talk about that, this pasuk then comes at the beginning of their thought, and says that you have to do your hishtadlut as well. You have to hope that God will help you, But do your effort. Those two things, those are classic what people think are intention. Trusting in God, but also doing your hishtadlut. When? They actually go together. You do the effort, God will do the rest. Aval dat linavon nakel. Ki kol ha-heter shel hishtadlut b'milei da'alma. Mista'ef hu b'metziyutah shel chovat ha-hishtadlut b'avodat Hashem. The only way that it's allowed, the only way that you're allowed to do hishtadlut is if it's through bitachon, through your avodat Hashem. If you think about it, if effort doesn't matter and anything that happens to you is God only, like some people make this argument, right? Some people say, you know what, everything is up to God. Putting in effort doesn't really matter in the scheme of things. God will make sure you get what is coming to you or what's not coming to you, and really you have no choice in the matter. People make that argument. You might hear even religious people saying it's all up to God. I have no say in the matter. If you believe that, then you're not allowed to do anything. What would be the permission? It would be actually bad for your bitachon and God if you ever do any effort to feed yourself or to work and raise a family. What would be the point of any of that stuff? It actually work against your, you know, trust in God. If you really believe that. Obviously, it can't be true.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, perhaps. V'inei l'amato davar. So let's talk about what it actually is. Yeshna mitzvah achat shel teriyak ha-mitzvot she'yatzah min haklal. If you think about it, all the mitzvot in the Torah are things that you have to go ahead and do. They are all mitzvot. But there is one where you're supposed to not do hishtadlut. There's one mitzvah in the Torah that's passive, where you're actually supposed to actively not do anything.
As in not actively have kavanah or not?
Obviously, there are lo tases, don't murder. That is a mitzvah not to murder. But there's no active mitzvah not to do something. An aseh to not do something. Except for one. What?
I don't understand what's the difference.
I don't understand what your question is.
Well, let's give the example and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Are you talking about Shlicha?
Shema shel mitzvah zo, the name of this mitzvah, he mechiyat Amalek, is the wiping out of Amalek, which, as Gavi has pointed out very nicely, is actually requires you to forget Amalek.
Well, that wasn't actually what I was saying.
So what are you talking about?
I was talking about shlicha as in the field.
Oh, leaving.
You can't have kavana to do shlicha.
Oh, that's like a detail of the mitzvah. But there's you should actively leave something, right? Meaning,
no, as in you cannot intentionally leave something.
Interesting. It has to fall off. Okay.
Itafka doesn't work if you have kavana.
I hear.
To do it.
I hear. That's just leaving those things, not picking them up, though. Right? You're supposed to leave the things in the field. Okay, but we're talking about, I thought you were talking about shichacha, which means to forget something, which is comes from the same root. Afal pi shechovat michiyat Amalek mutalat hi aleinu, even though we have an obligation to wipe out Amalek, mikol makom yesh la b'tor pnim yiduim hamavi'im ha'eder hishtadlut. But the way it works is actually by not doing something, meaning there is two elements to michiyat Amalek. One is killing Amalek, I guess, the wiping out Amalek. But the second thing is forgetting their existence. Hari lehedya ne'amar b'chumash emcha. You have the case where God says, I will wipe them out. God says, emcha b'nigud l'timcha. God says, I will wipe them out, as opposed to you should wipe them out, which we also have in the Torah. Meaning there's two sides.
That's funny also, because we're the ones who are keeping their legacy alive.
Yeah, we are remembering Amalek. We're reading about Amalek to forget about Amalek. It's true. There is a certain amount of contradiction here. But the idea is that, look, God says, I will do it. You don't have to do it. I'm going to do it. On the other hand, we have a different side of the mitzvah, which is that you have to actively do something. You have to actively do it.
Right, that does bother me that the pasuk says, Zachara tesher asamach Amalek, and then two psukim later it says,
Timcha et zecher Amalek. Anyway, Emcha b'nigur l'timcha. right? God will do that versus you will do that. There's two sides to this mitzvah. So if you think about it, if that's the primary focus of Purim, is Mechir Amalek. Shame, and this coming Shabbos is Parsha Zachar, right? Shem sheyesh la mitzvah achas nit parsha lanu behedya b'torah b'signon shel eder ishtatud. If you think about it, God is telling you, stay back. I'm going to do this for you, at least in part. So we need a holiday that demonstrates that in its essence. Don't do something. So therefore, k'mokein, oto ayom hamiyuchad l'simchat shel mitzvah zo. If we're going to have a holiday that is the happiness, the joy that comes out of this mitzvah, then we're telling you, don't do effort on this day. What you normally do effort in, which is all this stuff for your parnasa and all this stuff for building a school and a business and building all that stuff, today's not the day. Today's the day to lay back and let God do the rest. That's the day of Purim, trusting in God, at least in part. So malacha takes us, we say, don't do that. Rabbi say, you won't see Simon Bracha from that. It's true. Every other day of the year, God says, you do it, I will bless you in it. But when it comes to Purim, Yom Simchat Michil Amalek, where we have the joy of the destruction of Amalek, if you do malacha on that day, it is outside of the bracha of do the hishtadlut and I will do the rest. Mikan hilchata rabata l'Purim. That's where the halacha comes from. Kol oser bo malacha in oro asim and bracha lo. If you do malacha on this day, you won't see the bracha of I will bless you in so far as you do hishtadlut. Your hishtadlut on this day doesn't count. It's bad. Oh, that's the very form of the day doesn't allow you to do malacha because Mechir Amalek has in its form not doing something, forgetting about something, letting God do the rest.
If you obliterate them, then they are not there to be a reminder to you.
That's an interpretation. That's possibly what the interpretation is. You might have come up with one solution. It happens to be, let me be clear, that Rav Huttner just says that there's two aspects. There's a divide here. God says, I will do it, and then we also have a command in the Torah, Timcha,
Zecher Amalek. But we also have a command in the Torah, Zachor, Zecher
Amalek. Yeah, so he doesn't mention the Zachor stuff. So I was mentioning that as the non-activity. But let me be clear, now that I'm reading it with you inside, the Emcha and the Timcha, so he's reading the Emcha as taking primary purpose on Purim. God says, I will do it. Don't worry about it. Don't do Hishtadlut on this day, says Rav Huttner, because God's saying Hishtadlut doesn't matter on Purim. Hishtadlut to kill Amalek, to erase Amalek, that's through me. That's not going to happen through you. So does Rav Huttner say, you'd have to read the rest of Pachad Yitzchak perhaps, or know the rest of his thought. Is he saying that Mechir Amalek, in its primary sense, is God doing it instead of man? Which is possible. It could be that the mitzvah, maybe some say this, that really the emphasis is on God doing it, and we're not really commanded to kill Amalek, which would take care a little bit. It puts the moral problem onto God, which is a little bit easier in some ways. Then we would have a command to forget, but not a command to erase actively by killing, right? I don't know. You'd have to read more in Pachad Yitzchak to do that. One more idea. Quick. Okay? It's a paragraph like this, right? It's very quick. All right? The form of the day comes out of that halacha. Very fascinating. Now let's do another idea similar to this. Here we go. Kushya haGemara, amai in orim halal b'Purim. There is a question in the Gemara why we don't say halal on Purim. Halal is about, miracles happened to us, we were saved. Why don't we say it? Teretz haGemara. So one of the answers happens to be, there's three different answers in the Gemara. One of the answers, kriyata zohi hilula. By reading the Megillah, we're actually doing halal through that. That is considered the halal of Purim, is reading the Megillah. Through reading the Megillah, you're actually Yotzei Hala. What that would mean is an interesting question. What is that? What can we bring out from that? Mevor ben Meiri, if you look at the Meiri, Devar Chadash Me'od. He gives an explanation that is extremely mechudash. It's very innovative. What does he say? He says, let's say you don't have a Megillah. What should you say Hallel on Purim? According to this answer, right? If you don't have a Megillah, Machmatz is a Sibat Shetiyah for whatever reason. Hari hu mechuyav be'amir Hallel. According to this reason, according to this answer, that the Megillah is the Hallel, that would mean that you have an obligation of Hallel. It's fulfilled through the Megillah. The Meiri says if you don't have a Megillah for whatever reason, you should say Hallel. Crazy. Should you say it also at night? It's an interesting question. Maybe that's why we say it on Purim night. I mean, on Pesach night. Okay. That's very interesting. It's clear that the Meiri is a minority opinion. Because not even one posek, says Rav Hutner, ever mentions that the idea that maybe you should say Hallel on Purim. If the Meiri was known throughout the ages instead of like rediscovered recently, fairly recently, maybe there would have been a discussion about this. But there isn't. So it's clear that he is a minority opinion. Lekushta demelta, but the truth is, Dvar ze ta'un hasvara. We have to try to understand, even though the Meiri is a minority opinion, let's try to understand this. Is there a real obligation? If there's a real obligation to say hallel, why does nobody agree with him? It sounds like the Meiri should be correct. It's very reasonable to say that if the reading of the Megillah is a Hallel, that would mean that there is an obligation of Hallel. The Meiri's point is pretty clear.
Unless you say that it's Dafka. This formulation of Hallel is...
So we'll see. We'll have to figure out why.
No other form right. of Hallel is...
We'll have to figure out why. He's going to give an answer exactly like that, okay? What is it about the Megillah that is the only proper Hallel for Purim? Because the question would be, why is the Meiri incorrect according to the other poskim? What is our answer that we can possibly give to the Meiri's point? It's clear that the reason why you say Hallel, let's say on Pesach, on Sukkot, you say it on various holidays, is or even maybe a personal Purim of yours happens in Eretz Yisrael, perhaps, is that you say Hallel because a miracle happened. Bim came tivo shel Hallel, hu behet em litivo shel mura hanes. When you say Hallel, it has to be parallel to the miracle that occurred to you. You say Hallel B'tzeis Yisrael in Mitzrayim. You say the words of Hallel on Pesach and on Sukkot because the Nes was out in the open, and so you do this declarative Hallel. It should be parallel to the miracle that you experienced. Dima Nes hu Nes Galoy, because if the miracle is an open miracle, as Gam Amir Tahallel hu Amir Galoya. That, and then it makes sense that your Hallel should also be out in the open. It should be, the experience of Hallel should be like the experience of the miracle. Right? So Hallel Galoy. Of an open Hallel. Of a B'nis Nista. But when it comes to a hidden miracle, right? Esther min HaTorah minayin shenemar v'anochi Hester Astir, which we know, he quotes from the Gemara, that Esther... And the idea of Esther is something where God hides his face, and it's not an open miracle. As Amir Halal, he Amir Itkasia shall Halal Ganuz. Very poetic language. He says it should be a covered over Halal, a hidden Halal embedded in something else. The Halal that we say on Purim is a hidden Halal for a hidden nes, for a hidden miracle. Kriyata Zohi Lula. Like Avi said, maybe the Hallel that we say through the Megillah is specific to Purim. Exactly. The reading of the Megillah is the Hallel because reading it, on an open level, you're just reading a Megillah. But on an inner level, you're expressing thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the hidden miracle that he has done for us. We're not trying to say that there's Hallel as an obligation and there's Megillah as an obligation, and you're fulfilling the Hallel through the Megillah. But rather, what are we saying? Ela de Megillah hi min Hallel b'fnei atzmo. That the Megillah represents actually a type of Hallel, a hidden miracle Hallel. That's what it's saying in the Gemara. Dehainu Hallel tamun mibifnim b'toch kriyat Megillah mibichutz. That where you have the Megillah, on the outside is just reading a Megillah, on the inside is expressing the halal of an inner miracle, of a hidden miracle. Asher alkein, im hu anus al kriyat Megillah, hari hu anus gam al halal. Therefore, that's why if you can't read Megillah for whatever reason, you have a Megillah scroll, then you also miss out on its halal. You can't replace it with the open halal because it would not be parallel to the miracle. Fascinating thought of the Megillah being exactly the expression of the Hallel that we're supposed to say for Purim. It's a hidden Hallel for a hidden miracle. Ah, so you see how these two ideas are parallel, where you have Purim being a day that you don't do Malacha as a parallel to the mitzvah of Mechiyat HaMalek, where you don't do anything, God does the rest. God does everything on Purim, and you're not supposed to do anything in terms of your own hashtadlut. And there, here we have the form of the Megillah is its halal as well. It actually gives off, expresses the halal that you're supposed to say. I think it's very parallel types of ideas. Hidden in the day itself, hidden in the Megillah itself, is the ideas we are trying to express. Go ahead.